Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
Noticing our thoughts, releasing any thoughts of the past, any thoughts of in the future. Bring our thought to the present moment, to right now. Envision silver white light moving up your spinal pathway like a spinning disc. Silver, all the way up between your shoulder blades and into your neck area, and the back of your head and the top of your head. Now focus your attention on the point between your eyebrows and know, as I speak these words, I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power. It is the fullness of divine wisdom, intelligence, creativity. It is unconditional love, being omnipresent, everywhere present. I am immersed in it. It expresses around me, in me, through me, and as me now. Today, right here and now, I am willing to be free. Free from the error of scarcity. Scarcity in any area of my life. I move in consciousness to the state of enoughness, a context of sufficiency, satisfaction, and fullness. I let go of scarcity. I do not endorse any thought form of lack in my own circumstances or in others. I face fear and I see it for what it really is, false evidence appearing real. I realize I am a richly endowed expression of an opulent universe, and there is always a sufficiency to be and do what I desire. I shift from financial security of trying not to worry and therefore accumulating all that I think that I need. I shift to financial serenity, knowing my true source is the invisible, inexhaustible storehouse of God. I'm thankful for this conscious realization of who I really am. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. And most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is. Thank you. And it's happy springtime, and I have a new acronym for spring, S-P-R-I-N-G. Stop procrastinating, reach inside ourselves, and nourish growth. Growth in all areas of our life. What is it that we'd like to stop in our life and start in our life and learn, places we'd like to go, maybe changes we'd like to have happen in our life, what we'd like to have, what we'd like to do, what we'd like to be. That's all about nourishing our growth. So if there's any area there that's not at the level that you'd like it to be, the acronym is stop procrastinating, reach inside yourself, and nourish growth. You know, sometimes people hold life a certain way. And of course, there's various degrees in between the way people hold it. But sometimes some people hold it as though it's a scary contest. And then on the other spectrum, the other polarity, that it's a never-ending adventure. And at the center here, how we hold adventure is going places in consciousness first that perhaps we have never traveled before. So today's topic is let go of scarcity. Let go of scarcity. Let go of scarcity. 3 points. The first one, again, a question, an inquiry. Can we kind of have as a backdrop in our life an awareness, a recognition, is this what I just said, what I just thought, or this underlying belief that's underneath it, or even this action that I'm about to take? Is this about empowerment? Is this about abundance? Is this about prosperity? And at the center, how we hold prosperity is to thrive and flourish and be successful in every area of our life. It's not only about money. So is this about that, or is it about scarcity? Scarcity. Is it about fear? Fear is one of the major barriers and obstacles to us having the life that we truly deserve and desire. So I guess an underlying question to that first point would be, where is my consciousness right now? Something like the reading that I read a little earlier. Do I have a have-not consciousness, or do I have a have-consciousness right now in that instant? Second point is for us to know that we're dealing with universal laws and principles. And I'm just going to speak some of them very slowly and distinctly so that it impregnates your subconscious mind. And we talk about them all the time at the center. Would be a good thing to know some of them off by heart, especially when we catch ourselves and go, oh, I just said something that I really don't want to have manifest in my life. Or I just thought something. Or I have this underlying belief. Boy, that sure isn't about where I want my life to go. And the third point, and I'm going to get back to all of these, living in scarcity is emotionally painful. It's emotionally painful. And how we can shift to have a context shift around pain, can we hold that pain tells us something? It tells us where God desires to move more strongly in our life. And I don't mean God up there in the sky, because we don't believe in that deity here at the center. That infinite presence and power is truly everywhere present. It certainly is an aspect of ourselves, as far as some people call it our higher self. So when we have pain in our life, it's that Spirit of God, we could say the Christ consciousness within us, that wants to express with no barriers to its full self-expression. It's God within us wanting to move in our life, and there's some sort of obstacle, something in the way there, a barrier. And the pain, we could actually say it's good. It's telling us something. If we listen to it. Okay, so let's go back to number one. Where is my consciousness? Well, if we look at thoughts so much at the center, you know, every Sunday when I open and welcome you, I tell you what new thought is. When we have a new thought, a new idea, a new way of looking at things, something like a kaleidoscope. You all know a kaleidoscope. You hold it up, and all you have to do is just turn it a weeny bit, and you have a whole new picture. Whole new picture. You could be going down like this, and all you have to do is just 1 degree shift, and it doesn't look like very much, but way down there, it's very different from where you would have arrived if you hadn't made that 1 degree shift in your thought. So just thoughts like, have you had the thought that you can't afford something? What have you worried about recently? Now, when we're talking about scarcity, we're not only talking about in the context of the opposite to prosperity. Some people think there's scarcity of men around. There's no good men around. They hold it like a scarcity in the area of health and healing. You know, it's like, what's that saying? I always ask Norman when it has to do with scripture, because he knows so much more scripture than I do, and I'm your minister. But Norman had 40 years of it in unhealthy religion. So I always ask him for the reference, but there's something in scripture about don't go to the well with a thimble. When we ask for healing, we just don't ask for a little bit of healing, we ask for it all. Yeah. So it's like that. It's our thoughts. It's our speaking. How do we speak? Like, you know, I shared with you last week about somebody who had a saying, and he joked about it, but obviously he still has an underlying belief about it, because his life hasn't shifted too much. Some people are like joking about their life, like, well, when my ship comes in, there'll probably be a dock strike. And they think it's funny to talk like that. But underlying there, there's some sort of a belief underlying there. What about beliefs as far as that there is not enough, or we're not enough, or we're not worthy? Buckminster Fuller, years ago, I think it's now at least about 20 years ago, he determined that there was enough money, and now there's more money, enough money on planet for every single person to be a millionaire. Did you know that there's that much money on planet Earth? Some of us, that's a very new idea, and then others say, well, sure not circulating through my pockets and pocketbook these days. But there is that much money. I was reading some of my notes from Harv Eker, who leads the Millionaire Mind and a lot of other very powerful workshops through course of instruction called Peak Potentials. That's the name of his company. But I took down some notes. I always like to reread some of my notes. And this is what he said. These are my notes. If even the slightest part of you cringes at the word, and I'm going to insert a few extra words here, but he had these words. If even the slightest part of you cringes at the word rich, wealthy, prosperity, I love this word, opulence. Doesn't that word sound beautiful? It's opulence. Just notice where your mind's going now. Affluence. The root word of affluence is effluere, which means to flow. Now, I don't know where your mind went with that. I know where my mind used to go with that. And part of it was my little life training from my mom. You could get only so much, and then it was like too much. So some of these words, affluence and opulence, when I first started to hear it, my mind went, yeah, but you know, that's enough is enough. Mm-hmm. How many of you, when you were growing up, heard the word prosperity spoken in your home? No hands are going up. I know I never heard it until I came into New Thought. So is there, you know, like, is there some sort of a belief going on there? So I'm going back to this, what Harv said. If even the slightest part of you cringes at a word like rich, wealth, opulence, affluence, prosperity, in any way, for any reason, there's a good chance your beliefs, your blueprint is set, do not achieve, and you may have a difficult time getting ahead in life. Is that good news or bad news? You know, like that. Now, Norman and I love to go out to eat, and we went out for a special dinner the other day, and you've all been to restaurants, and you order, and then they bring the food. What if they brought you what you didn't order? Would you say something? Yes, I'm sure everybody here would. Now, there's an analogy. It's like life is giving us what we've ordered. But we say, not that. I didn't order this. Maybe we ordered it, but unconsciously or subconsciously, through our thoughts, through our joking, through our speaking, through our belief system, and life has shown us what we ordered. And then underneath it all, if it's showing up like scarcity, we can bet there's some degree of scaring there, some degree of afraid, some degree of fear. And like last week, use the acronym and again mentioned it in the meditation, false evidence appearing real. It's the past talking trash to the present. Harv Eker says it's a story you made up. It's a story you made up. You made it up, and we keep telling it to ourselves and get more fearful. Now, let's tie this into the second point where I said, we're speaking about universal principles. So when I say a few of these statements, each one of them is the same principle stated a different way. Now, know that when we're creating our life, this works whether we're creating our life for success or whether we're worrying. Because worrying is a form of creation. It's a form of visualization. When we're fearing, the same thing. Because we are co-creative with God, we have the same attributes inherent within us. And infinite is creative. We are creative. We are creators in our life. Many of you come to the Center for Self-Awareness have heard these statements many times, and you're going to hear them many more times until I'm not your minister. And then hopefully when the new minister comes, he or she will say them in a different way. Matter obeys the intent of consciousness. Matter obeys the intent of consciousness. An idea has an electromagnetic sphere of energy that attracts to it whatever it needs to manifest. I said that statement when opening Sunday at the Center for Self-Awareness 16 years ago, and that was before Deepak Chopra hit the news. The universe rearranges itself to accommodate our picture of reality, our perception of reality. That's my bumper sticker on my car. The universe rearranges itself according to my perception. So, you know, it's all saying the same thing, only just a little bit different. Harv Eker, who speaks Millionaire Mind to 600-800 people at a time, he says this statement again and again and again in his introductory night. Where attention goes, energy flows, and results show. That's new thought. Where your attention goes, energy flows, and results show. So if we're worrying, guess what? If we're fearing, guess what? If we're in scaring ourselves, scarcity, guess what? It not only works for visualizing our dreams, making our dreams come true, it's always operating. It's like the universe is like this. Tell me what you want. I'm going to give you what you want. And when we're fearful and when we're worrying, we're putting that out too. Not only when we're goal setting and visualizing. Because we hear a lot in New Thought about goal setting, visualization, affirmation. That's why something like the cash flow discovery is so wonderful, because you're playing a game and you're not really monitoring yourself to watch. Oops, you're amongst New Thought people here now. I better watch what we say. You're playing a game, you're having fun, and then out of your mouth something comes. And you get to look at that. How we live it. And we didn't even know that that was a belief of ourselves. Thoughts are things. We've heard that before. We give light form. No form exists apart from consciousness. No form exists apart from consciousness. This podium would not be here if it hadn't been an idea in someone's mind. And if you look deep enough into this podium, it's spirit. There's more space in it than there are solid molecules, if we look deep enough. Mm-hmm. We think in secret, and it comes to pass, that our condition, circumstance, and environment is our looking glass. It's another way of saying the same thing. We think in secret, but it comes to pass our condition, circumstance, environment is our looking glass. Our world, our outer world, is a reflection of our inner world. Many profound teachers have stated that in different ways. I found another saying that means the same thing just this week. What we hold to be true in our mind becomes our reality by the law of correspondence. Oh. What we hold to be true in our mind becomes our reality by the law of correspondence. So, knowing all that, you know, it's important for us to know our blueprint. If we're coming from opulence, enoughness, abundance, prosperity, or scarcity. Scarcity. What did your parents say when you were growing up about the rich? Was it something good they said? How did they talk about the rich? With respect or disdain? It's been said that we get what we deserve. Now, this isn't about us being right or wrong or good or bad. I would say that there's a deeper way of looking at that. We don't get, we receive what we think we deserve. And there's a difference. Because who we are as spiritual beings, we deserve the absolute highest and best in life has to offer us. All of God's riches and abundance. Everything, like the wonderful relationship, perfect health, vitality, and to be in the flow of God's richness and abundance. Being a spiritual being, that's what we deserve. But we only receive what we think we deserve. So if there's anything in our consciousness that, you know, like we weren't good kids, we don't deserve it, who do we think we are, anything like that, that's undermining that. It's undermining. Another acronym, it's CAPS, but C-A-A-P-S, CAPS. We create, we attract, allow, we promote, and we step into. And that's how things show up in our life. I want to share with you a little bit about P.J. Daniels, and some of you have heard me speak about him before. He's an Australian. He's written wonderful books. This is his background, so that we don't use it as an excuse that we had this kind of a upbringing, or our parents never talked about abundance or richness or health or wonderful relationships. He came from what is termed a broken home. He failed almost every grade in school. His family was third generation welfare recipients. At 26, he was an illiterate bricklayer. And today, he is a multi-millionaire and has been for several decades. He's one of Australia's leading businessmen. He's a top motivational speaker. He's world-renowned with his books, his seminars, on advanced goal setting, leadership, management, motivation. He wrote a book addressed to one of his school teachers who said that he was bad and would never amount to anything. Her name was Miss Phillips, and his book was entitled, Miss Phillips, You Were Wrong. This is one of his quotations. Be willing to do things that other people aren't willing to do. And I think that he means the do. It's not only about do. It's about thinking, speaking, believing. That's part of what where he's coming from with do. And he says, stop being an excusiologist. You know, we can create a new word anytime we want. And he created that one. I don't think it's in the dictionary. An excusiologist. Reasons and excuses do not count. I like that. So where is our consciousness? Where's our consciousness? as we go out through life. You know, many times there's scripture, and you know, I think that's why I was so turned off by the Bible when I was young. I didn't understand. I'd read stuff and I'd say, what does that mean? Until Norman and I met Dr. Rocco Errico, who is an Aramaic Bible expert, and we actually took a several-week intensive in Hawaii with him, and we actually had him here at the center once or twice a long time ago. But I've read so many of his books and listened to so many of his tapes. But there was one passage, Matthew 13:12, and it's got the word him in it, and I'm going to use the word her in it, because I think we've got more ladies' expressions in the audience today. You gentlemen won't mind, will you? Okay. But you stick in the him, because it's for you too. For to her who has shall be given, and shall be increased to her. But to her who has not, even that which she has shall be taken from her. How many of you understood that when you first read it? I didn't. I certainly didn't. What that's saying is, where is our consciousness? The Bible's very esoteric, but you know, you need somebody to translate it a little bit for us. It's something like this. We are either attracting or repelling according to our consciousness. Now that isn't even an accurate statement, because I just said we are either attracting or repelling, and that's inaccurate. We are attracting and repelling all the time, because with every yes, there's a hidden what? No. And with every no, there's a hidden what?
Yes.
Yes. So we are attracting and repelling all the time according to our consciousness. Consciousness of whether or not we feel we deserve, whether or not we feel we are enough, whether or not we have the sense there is enough in the universe. So, powerful. You know, you could take any part of this and go home and mull over for a week. So I said earlier, for my third point, living in scarcity is emotionally painful, and pain is a good signal telling us where God wants to move more powerfully in our life. And one of the ways, as I addressed in the meditation, the distinction between financial security and financial serenity. Both are about us not worrying. Financial security is when our thrust is about accumulating so that we have enough for whatever we might need in the future. Financial serenity is discovering the true, inexhaustible, invisible storehouse, and knowing we're immersed in it always, and we tap into it always, and it's according to our consciousness and receptivity. Receptivity. So I truly believe that God desires, our higher power within us desires to move more powerfully in our life in financial serenity. Because isn't it when we're looking at financial security, we don't want to worry, right? When we're looking at financial security, we say, well, then we'll be free. Same thing with financial serenity. But underneath it, underneath this business of what we say we want financial security for, underneath it. That's why A Course in Miracles is so powerful. It's about peace. Peace with ourselves. Peace in our life. So when we are living financial serenity, we have discovered that we're immersed in that storehouse. And our job, the willingness to pay the price that I said a couple of weeks ago, is to work on our consciousness, to work on being more open, to attend something like a forgiveness workshop. Like, no kidding. There's people in our life that we're holding that we haven't forgiven. It doesn't have to be a big major thing that, oh, I have to go to forgiveness workshop because there's this one person I'm really having trouble forgiving. It's for that too, but it's also for uncovering, discovering those little ones that we haven't forgiven, that we think it's okay. It's just when we think of them, we go, or when we see them coming here, we go there. Like that. So, in closing, the question again is, where is our consciousness? Is our consciousness a consciousness of one of appreciation, or is it a consciousness of discounting? What we have, what we don't have, about other people, about our jobs, about our career, about the finances, about the government, about our city, about the weather, about you name it. So I'm going to ask you during social time, and I hope nobody bolts out the door, during social time, I'd like you to speak to at least two people. And hopefully it's people that you don't normally talk with. And let them know what you appreciate in your life, whether it's a person, a thing, an attribute, anything, to get us moving in consciousness as we move out of this building and go out about our world, our life, our everyday life, that we're in the space of the consciousness that we bring to the planet is about appreciation, is about enoughness. Can we appreciate something when we're coming from not enough? No. Two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time in our consciousness. We cannot be in scarcity or scare city when we are appreciating. So are you willing?
Yes.
Yes. Just a few are saying yes. Mm-hmm. Some of you aren't sure. Aren't sure. So I invite you to, you know, be with this topic in a powerful way this next week in preparation for Easter. Because Easter at the center is about mastery and freedom. In our little sheet when you come in, it says profound distinctions and recognitions about new thought in the center. This is the paragraph that it says about Easter. Easter time at the center is about reminding us of the potential of victory and mastery over any and all challenges being presented to us either individually, personally, and collectively and globally. That's a big statement. The cross symbolizes the inner current of divine life, and the human limitation is the horizontal aspect of the cross. We are invited to cross out in consciousness any restriction, any limitation, any seemingly impossibility and unforgiveness. The resurrection depicts the rising from the tomb of ignorance and throwing off burial robes of limited thinking, believing, and rising up in consciousness in renewal, awakening, and commitment to being and living all that we are meant to be and live. That's what new thought is about in Easter. So those of you who are traveling for Easter time, have a safe trip, have a wonderful Easter time. Be the consciousness of mastery and victory with whoever's lives you touch. You may be the only new thought Easter message other people ever get to read by who you are in your life. So be a blessing this next week and at Easter time. And I hope if you're in the city that you join us for the Easter message, taking a stand, a way of living. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you.